Okay, today this Shabbos is Parshas Yisro. There are a number of inyanim that appear in this week's parash. Let's begin with a word I heard by Sheva Brachas a while ago, a Sheva Brachas Torah relating to Parshas Yisro. I want you to first tell you the word. Let me tell you what the Darshan said. I found it to be very interesting. If I remember it, I'm telling it to you today. You must see that it made an impression. What?
At least one person
was
paying attention.
At least one person is still unmarried. Even after hearing this Vart. Okay, let's hear the Vart. The Vart is, we have in this week's parasha, Yisro comes to Moshe and says to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, my son-in-law, my good son-in-law, you know the son, whatever you do is no good. Loitoyev hadavar. You're no good. You're no good. This is not a parnas. This is not a way to treat my daughter. Okay, that's not the point I want to make. But he told him, Loitoyev hadavar asher ata oiseh novol tibol. You can't lead and judge the entire Klal Yisrael. One man's show, it's not going to last. You need some support. You need a support system. You need a group of people to help you lead and judge the people. Let me read the words of the Pasuk. Vayomer chosein Moshe elov, loy toiv hadavar asher ata oiseh. Novol tibol, you're going to wear out gam ata, gam o'om azeh sher imach, ki choveid mimcha hadavar lo sucha lasol levadecha. Let me give you some good advice. Take some good advice from your father-in-law. What's my advice? Atoshma b'kol yotzecha, I'll counsel you. Let me jump down. V'shoftu es ha'om b'choleis v'hoya kol hadavar ha-godol. Anything that is godol. What does godol mean? Great, big. What is big? Well, let's put that back for a moment. Yoviu elecha. V'chol hadavar hakoton. Anything that's small, yishpitu heim. You will judge the davar godol, and your associates, your junior partners, your work team, underlings, they will judge the davar katon. Okay? Moshe listens to the shver. Vayishma Moshe lekol choisne vayas kol asher amar vayivcha Moshe anshei chayil mikol Yisrael vayitin asher Moshe mal ha'am sorry lefim v'chulu v'chulu v'shavtu es ha'am b'chol es es hadavar. So what should it say now? Gadol. Doesn't say that. Hadavar ha'kosheh. The difficult matters. Yivi'un el Moshe v'chol hadavar ha'katon yishputu heim. Balkori has to know Yishputu, not Yishputu. Yishputu heim. Okay. So what is going on here? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu change from Godol to Koshev? So the Bali Musar say, before we get to the Shev Rachasab, the Bali Musar explain, Yisro came from a secular environment. Yisro was familiar with all the different types of the Zara. And by Yisro, from the perspective of a non-Jew, who's not yet Megayu from where he came from, when do you present something to the big, to go to the Supreme Court? When you're dealing with millions of dollars, monopolies, hundreds of millions of dollars, governments, there has to be something which is serious. Dealing with major lawsuits that affects the entire country, money, godol, that is what is brought to the Supreme Court. But small petty matters, fender bender, little things, you're dealing over here with petty disputes over $5, $10. Look at that, you go and you bring to your local Rav, if even your local Rav, you ask the guy who knows a little bit more than you in shul, the guy who seems like he knows what he's doing, he comes early to davening, he must know the answer to the halacha, and you bring the davar katon to the small person. Moshe Rabbeinu told his father-in-law, Yisro, you know, you're correct. I need assistance. You know, it's a burden. There's a lot to be done. I need assistance. But you're making a very big mistake. In the Torah, there's no difference between $100 million and 10 cents. Gezel is gezel. If there is a din Torah, 10 cents, there's a question, who owns the 10 cents? Okay, you can be moichel, $1, $10, whatever it is. But al pi halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values pachim ketanim. Just as much HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the MS is with something which is worth $100 million. I'll say a very quick marshal. I once was in the yeshiva, when I was in high school, there was a bachur in my shir. This made a very big impression on me. Bachur in my shir, I think it was in 10th grade. He asked the Rebbe Akasha. front of the whole class, the 25 boys in the class, he asked Rabbi Akasha, and the Rebbe right away, he figured out, there's no way in this world, this bacher, can ask such a good question. He right away figured out that he stole the question. He opened up a Rashba, he opened up one of the Achronim, he wanted the covet of asking a good question in class and taking credit. Plagiarism. He stole the question for himself. This is before the days of, you know, an internet where you can just do whatever you want, and the Rebbe exploded. He really exploded. He said, someone that steals the kasha of the Rashba, you steal a little kasha. What's the big deal in the classroom over here? There's no money. We're just sitting over here in the class, little classroom. You steal a kasha on the Gemara. You're a ganef. You'll one day become a ganef and you'll steal $1 million. You'll be in jail one day. Who knows where you end up being?
What? So what happened to him later?
He's not a yeshiva now. Don't worry. That's what he said. He says, you're a ganef. You're a ganef, you steal the Rashba's kasha, you take credit for yourself, even though now, what difference? Who are you coming to impress? A couple of little kids? What? He didn't. The Rebbe...
Of course, maybe he
The Rebbe made this...
He had a superior intelligence.
No, not this guy. This guy, the Rebbe, obviously, and he was right, because it was very clear that the Rebbe was right. You can't generalize. You're coming from the approach of the modern day rebbein that we have to be very good to the children and everything, the children are good, you can't be choshev ksherim, and we have to pat them on the back. A hansha. Today, the whole derech and chinuch is very different. You're right. In my day, when I was a kid, they used to still hit. They still used to hit. The Rebbe knew the situation. Okay, let's assume that that's not the issue. It's not the issue. We're not discussing different halachim and chinuch today. That's not the issue. But the Rebbe knew the kid. He knew the story. He knew what was going on, and he was correct. He was correct, and he gave him mussar. If you steal a kasha of the Rashba, you'll one day come to steal $1 million. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yisrael, "You're telling me Dover Godol means big money." $1 million business deals. That's when they'll come to me. And the small, petty cash business deals, they'll come, they'll ask the simple judge, the lower level judges. It's a big mistake. In halacha, there's no difference if you steal $5, if you steal $1 million. The issue is a complex halachic issue. There are times when it's clear as day that $1 million belongs to Reuven, does not belong to Shimon. Just because they're able to get all the way to the Supreme Court and make a big deal of it, that doesn't make a difference. Some of the cases that are kosher are in halacha extremely complicated. Even though it's only $5, it's not gadol. As far as halacha, as far as people are concerned about it, they don't consider this to be a gadol. They consider this to be petty little things. But in halacha, the situation is so complicated. It's only $5. But it's in halacha, it's a dover kosher. That is what the Dayan, the Supreme Court, has to decide. That's what. And now, so basically, every time when it says katon in these two sections, it's relative to the first word. If you start off with gadol, which means $1 million deal, then katon means $5 deal. But if you start off that kosher means something that involves, it spans dal chelkes shulchan aruch, then when it says katan, that's a mafarish mishnah berurah. That's a mafarish mishnah berurah. It's a mafarish mechaber. It's a mafarish ramah. It's a pasuk in the Torah. You don't need any grace of chachma. That's what it then means katan. Yeah. What do you mean for katon?
Yeah,
because katon it's relative to the word, to the first word. If the first word is gadol, then because katon can go both ways. What is katon? Is a very vague word. So katon, if the word katon is juxtaposed, is compared to the word gadol, then katon means ma'at. It means small, small in money. Gadol means rav, seemingly it's a drush, but it means a lot of money, so katon means $5. But if kosher is your starting point, then when you say katon, it means it's small in difficulty.
Yeah, so why name is a different word?
What word would you use?
Kal.
Kal is a Hebrew word. That's also a Hebrew word. Is kal a Hebrew word? I'm not sure. Maybe I hear the question. So there could be there are other connotations, there are other lessons. But it's a solid Jewish. Katon is a word, a vague word, which is defined relative to your starting point. If your starting point is gadol, then katon means small. It's small in money in this interpretation. If your starting point is koshet, difficulty, katon then means it's small in difficulty. The difficulty level is not so great. It's a ferish Rama Machabiah.
Yeah. Well, the question is, in the passage earlier, where it says, Vayishma Moshe Lakol Chosno, Vayas Kol Asher Am.
Okay, it's a good question. I don't have an answer. It's a Jewish, as Mr. Axelrod would say, a Jewish with a capital D. There's something here. You're right. I hear what you're saying. It's not a perfect Jewish, but there's definitely a Muslim. Now, let me go the step next step. Now, this itself is a very nice verse, right? What? I don't know who this is from. But this is a nice var in and of itself. I think it's a popular var. Now I'm coming to this. A high tide is okay. So this itself is a davar shalem. Okay, you don't need to go further. Now let's go to the next var. Now, the darshanim take note that in the Torah we have this unique expression of Yisro to Moshe. Loi toiv hadavar. Where else do these words loi toiv appear?
Loi toiv
hayos adam levado. Ese loi ezer kinego. Shiduchim. Hashem did not want to say that it's ra. Chazal learned from this that a person should not say bad words. You should just say minus the just speak b'lashon a nice expression. So Hashem did not want to say that it's ra. To be alone, Hashem said loy toiv. It's self understood. It was not necessary for Hashem to might say an evil sentence, an evil word from his mouth. Hashem spoke in pleasant terms. Loy toiv hayos adam levado. Yisro said the same thing to Moshe Rabbeinu. Loy toiv ha'adavar asher ata oiseh. So the Darshanim come along. Anything that it says in the Torah has very great significance. No coincidence. There's a gzeirah shava, a gzeirah shava shel drush, not a gzeirah shava shel yud gil midas sashatar nidreshes, but it's a gzeirah Shava for the Darshanim. If these two expressions come together, there are lessons to be learned from one to the other. And basically, it's giving us the license to interpret the parasha of Yisro and Moshe as a message for Shidduchim. Loi toiv, it's not good for you, Moshe, to be alone. What he's saying is, it's not good for a man to live in this world alone. Novel tibol. He'll wear away. Man needs a wife. He needs an assistant, an ezer kenegdo. And now when we describe the dialogue, the details, this is really an elaboration, al derech drush, of what Hashem said to Adam. Hashem didn't give a perish. There's no perish Rashi. Hashem said, loy toiv heyois Adam levadai, eselo ezer kenegdo, period. That's it. Here, we have a discussion. So the discussion is like a parish Rashi on what Hashem said. Lo toiv heyos adam ese lo ezer kenegdo. You have to have assistance.
An associate partner.
To assist you. Now look at the difference. This is a beautiful drush. Look at the difference. What does Yisro say? What is the role from a secular perspective between a man and a wife? One wears the pants, and the other, there's one. Now you have to think back. You know, today, modern times, it doesn't work. The Jewish is not as good in modern times, in modern society, as probably was 100 years ago. But the point Yisro is saying that in a marriage, there is different issues that present themselves to a married couple. There are a dover godol and a dover katon. Who decides the davar gadol in life, and who decides the davar katan? Whoever makes the money, whoever brings in the bread, right? There is you have to finesse this the right way. I can get into a lot of trouble now. I'm not going to get there, but there is such a thing. There is such an approach that one of the partners is in control. They make all of the decisions, and the other person is just they'll decide the davar katon. Moshe vayask chol asher amar. What's the musar? There's no such thing as something that's insignificant. Moshe said, there's a dover that's kosher, and there's a dover that is katon relative to kosher. There are things that are difficult, but every single thing in life, every decision in life is gadol. And therefore, both parties, you can't say, oh, well, this one will decide, make the decision. There's no such thing. Every decision that presents itself to a married couple is like what presents itself to Moshe and his assistants. They're all in the category of Davar Gadol. There's no difference between $5 and $1 million. The Torah has a halacha. There are things that are more complicated, which require more skill in dealing with. But as far as significance is concerned, there are things that are kosher, there are things that are not as difficult. But as far as Gadol means, don't one partner in the marriage cannot say, this is a major decision in our life, and I'm going to decide. And you will just have to listen to me. Not the wife, not the husband. That's wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael, you're making a big mistake. There's no such thing when you're dealing with a system of judges where there's something which is a major, which is gadol, which is significant, and there are things that are not significant. No such thing in the Torah. Every single thing in matters of Beis Din is gadol. Is very significant. You come to court, no matter when you're dealing with $5, in the eyes of the judges, this is gadol. In halacha, there are things that are more difficult, and there are things that are less difficult. But it's important. In life, everything is important. And no one partner in a marriage can say, I'll take care of the important decisions in life, and you'll take care of the decisions that are not so important in life. Everything in life is important. It just happens to be that there are certain things that the husband may have better skills. So he's more equipped to deal with this because this is a davar which is kosher and he's been trained to deal with this type of issue. And the wife may have her specialty and she's better equipped to deal with this. So there are things which are kosher and not kosher. Okay, then each person will deal with, will apply the proper way. But gadol? Oh, don't dare say that. Everything in life is important. So this is a drush to tie into the connection of Yisro and Loitoyev Hadavar, the Gezeirah Shava. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is new to me. This is a short idea. It's new to me. I like the idea more than the drush. But I was never aware of this in the Aseres HaDibros. In the Aseres HaDibros, we have 10, obviously our 10 Dibros. And there are 5 on the first tablet, and there are 5 on the second tablet. The right, if you look at it, you go to the shul, you look on top of the Aron, if your Aron has the Luchos, you have the right and the left. On the right, we have 5, and on the left, the second, we have another 5. Now, what are the first 4 on the right? So Chazal tell us, these are primarily our ben Odom la-mokoyim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? I am. Lo yeluch Elohim acherim. Lo sisa Shalom Aleichem. Lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha la-shav. Do not say Hashem's name in vain. Then we have Shabbos, Zochor es Yom HaShabbos leKadosho, and the last is Kabeid es Avicha v'Yasimecha. All of these are Bein Odom LaMokom. You'll ask, what about Kabeid es Avicha v'Yasimecha? Yeah, that's right. Kabeid es Avicha v'Yasimecha is not just a parent. A father is the way you relate to your father is the way you relate to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, that's a drush in and of itself, and I can go into that, but basically, Kabeid es Avicha v'Yasimecha, the Darshanim explained it on the tablet, which represents Odom LaMokom. It's Odom LaMokom. On the left, all clearly made Adam Lachavero. Lo tirtzach, lo tinof, lo tignoiv, lo sa'anev, reacha, et shaker, do not testify falsely, and lo sachmat. All of things which clearly relate to Ben Adam Lachavero. Okay. Now, what's very interesting is, the first luchos, the right, the Adam Lamakom, each one of the dibros, we have Hashem's name. Not just one name of Hashem, but both names. Hashem Yudke Vavke, which we know means Midas Harachamim, and Elohim, which represents harshness Midas Hadin. And on the left, the Luchos that have been Odom Lachavero, nothing. Not the name of Yudke Vavke, not the name of Elohim. Let me just illustrate that. The first of Anochi, the first, Hashem Elohim Kecha. Second Dibra says, Lo yelucha lukimachim alpanai lo yisase lucha keilu shacha ki onochi hashem eloikecha. That's the second Dibra. Kel kano paket avoy navos albanim v'al shvashim v'al b'yim l'sonoi. Let's go to the third Dibra. Lo yisisu, not say Hashem's name in vain. Lo yisisu Hashem, Hashem eloikecha. Again, Hashem Elokecha. Fourth Dibra, the Shabbos, Zohar Yom Shabbos Lekadsho, Kishay Shes Yomim, V'yom Hashvi Shabbos LaHashem Elokecha. Okay, Kabres Avich V'yasmech, number 5, L'man Yarichun Yimech L'al Hodom Asher Hashem Elokecha No Sein Loch. It's each one of the 5 Dibros, Hashem Elokecha. Then when you come to the next, Lo Stirtzach, Le Tinov, Le Tignov, Le Saan Evriachai Choker, Le Sachmud Bishriacha, Le Sachmud Eishesriacha, Vyadoi Vamoso, Vishroi Vachamaroi, Vichola Shiriacha. What's going on? So, I don't know if this is a Medrash or if this is a Zohar. Okay, I don't know where this is. I saw this in Rav Pinchas Friedman's save, one of his, the first volume. The first one that was printed, it's very hard to get. I have, now they printed, it's famous, but one of the first years, it's printed by year. Every year he writes a column in the newspaper, and they collect it into a sefer, so now they already put out a Davar Chashuv, a really nice bound sefer, but the first time that they published a very thin little kuntres, and there he quotes some medrash, obscure medrash, or a Zohar, that really Hashem wanted to put the shame Yudke Vavke on the right and the name Elokim on the left. The original intent was each one of the Dibros, the 5 Dibros, that Aben Odom Lachavero, the shame Elokim should appear. And on the 5 Dibros of Ben Odom LaMakom, only the name Yudke Vavke should appear. So basically, it would be something like the first Dibra, Anochi Hashem. Right, the first Dibra begins, Anochi Hashem, Asher Hotzei Sicha. Instead of it saying Hashem Elokecha, it should say Anochi Hashem, Asher Hotzei Sicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And when it comes to Lo Sirtzach, it would say, Lo Sirtzach. I don't know what you would say, but it would be written in a way. There would be an elaboration which would force us to include the word Elokim, and so on and so forth for the other 5. That was the original intent. What happened? So Hashem saw that it's not a good idea to keep the Midas Hadin. This is what it says in this Medrash on the left. It's too harsh, it's all alone. We have to sweeten the Midas Hadin with Rachamim. So Hashem took the Midas Hadin, Elokim, from the Luchos of Ben Adam Lachavero and brought it over to the Dibros on the right side, Adam Lamakom, and put in the Elokim next to Hashem's name to sweeten the din with Racham. And this is a Rashi and Chumash. I'm not telling any Kabbalistic again because you have Rashi and Chumash. B'yoyim Barah, Bereishis Barah Elokim. Es Hashemayim V'Esaretz. Hashem created the world with Midas Hadin. And then Hashem gave a look, and Hashem said, this world is not going to last 5 minutes. So therefore Hashem had no choice, and Hashem added a dosage of Midas Harachanim. And that's why it says, B'yom B'ro Hashem Elokim Es Hashemayim. Sheni, but then when it repeats, we review creation, it says Biyom Biro Hashem Elohim. All of a sudden, Rashi asks the question. Okay, this is not heavy duty stuff. Rashi in Chumash, the beginning of Chumash. Why all of a sudden does it say Yudke Vavke? We're in the first lead, only Elohim. Hashem looked at the world and Hashem said, what did I do? I made a Chorban. I made a world, a Midas Hadin. It's not going to survive for 5 minutes. So I have no choice in order to have Rachamim. So Hashem sweetened the din by eating Yudke Vavke. So this is the Medrash. It's all it says. It's all what I told you basically is the Medrash. And now the Medrash requires bay, requires explanation. So let me just first tell you what Pinchas Friedman says. And I'll just tell you a little bit, just a horror, an observation, a thought that came to my mind. But Pinchas Friedman says, what does it mean that the right and the left? So he explains that when a person serves, there are 2 different types of mitzvos in the Torah. Ben Adam Lachaveroi and Ben Adam Lamakom. When you do a mitzvah, Ben Adam Lamakom, it's very easy to do it l'shem shemayim. Because that's the essence of the mitzvah. When you serve Hashem, when you daven to Hashem, who else are you davening to? You're davening to your fellow man, of course. When you do a mitzvah of lo sisa, Hashem, Hashem, lokech lashav, when you do a mitzvah, any mitzvah that would take a little of an esrog. Why are you taking a little of an esrog? It's a mitzvah, and Adam Lamak, Hashem told you to take the little vinesrik. So you take it, you take a microscope, and you look to make sure there's no problems. It's all l'shem shamayim. It's very easy. But when you do a mitzvah, ben Adam lachavero, it's very easy to do it not l'shem shamayim. Why are you not going to murder? Because if I murder, I'm going to sit in jail for the rest of my life. It's just not in my best interest. That's pretty good. Don't worry. That's a very good deterrent. But let's go to every single mitzvah in Adam Chavero. A person does it because I like the person. You have to l'recha kamocha. You know why? I like him. I like him. He's a good guy. If I'll be good to him, he'll be good to me. He'll do business with me. So on and so forth. When you're dealing with Adam Lachavero, it's very easy to do the mitzvah just Shaloi L'shem Shemayim, because when you're dealing with human beings, you have your own interests involved. There's a desire of reciprocation. You have your own agenda. Therefore, that's why it's on the left. Anything that's on the left, the Oirech Yomim Bismina Bismola Osher V'Chavot. On the right, this Oirech Yomim. What's Oirech Yomim? It means Oilam Shekula Oirech. The smaller, on the left, you'll have a good life, oisher v'chavod, which simply means, in this world, you'll have a good life. Good life, that there's a danger any time you get involved in enjoying this world. Oisher v'chavod can very easily take you off in the wrong direction. You have to make sure that you channel the oisher v'chavod for a higher purpose. It's on the left. The left is always a danger zone. You're putting yourself in the danger zone. The mitzvos of Ben Adam Lachavero are dangerous because all of the Tayag mitzvos have to be done L'shem Shemayim. Of course, the Torah wants you to do things because Hashem gives you direction, but it has to be all in mind that this is all L'shem Shemayim. When you do Adam L'Chavero, there's a danger that it can be done only Adam L'Chavero, and it's not being done 100% L'shem Shemayim. That's why it's on the left, and that's why the name Elohim is there. It's Midas Hadin. Din in a very general interpretation means it's difficult. It's much harder to succeed. Therefore, Hashem, this is our Pinchas Friedman says, Hashem took those Elohims, brought it over to the right side in order to help you out. What does that mean exactly? I have no idea. But it's a lesson that it's Hashem is giving us siyata d'shmaya to help us succeed in doing the mitzvos ben adam lachavera. Also, it should be done l'shem shmam. Okay, that's what he says. The point I want to make is some very, very simple point. We find a concept in the Torah over and over that Hashem is much more demanding of us that we are good to each other than we are to Hashem. Classic example, the Dar HaMabul and the Dar HaFlaga. The Dar HaMabul, the world rebelled against man. Chamas, violence, theft. Ki hishchis kol basar darkoy ala aretz. The primary chait of the Dar HaMabul, man was killing each other. They were at each other's necks. So what did Hashem do? You're not good to each other? I'll destroy the world. Dar HaFlaga, everyone was unified. Yachad, yachdav, for one purpose, to rebel against Hashem. Did Hashem get angry? No, I'm not saying you want to rebel against me. As long as you're happy among you, as long as you are united in your cause, it's okay. I'm not going to destroy the world. I'll just disperse you. No big deal. No big deal. So we disperse. So stimulate the economy. The world was dispersed. But Hashem, over and over, even the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel, give you a quick example. What was Hashem upset about the Chet HaEgel? So we think Hashem was so upset that we worship the Egel? That wasn't it. If you study the Chet HaEgel, unfortunately this is not brought out enough. You know what the real Chet HaEgel was? The real reason why we were going to be destroyed? They murdered Chor. It wasn't so much they danced around the ego. Oh, so you dance around the ego. As long as you're dancing, as long as you're happy, it's okay. Not okay. Chor told you to stop and you murdered him? This is something which is, and this is brought out in the Kinnus with Zechariah, the whole world. Okay, that's not for now. Even in the Megillah, Chor Karpas Usecheles. What does the Medrash say? Why is there a large ches? Chor. So Chor means white linen. That's what it really simply means. But the Medrash says, you know why there's a large ches? Because it's referring to the person called Chor. And in the beginning of the Megillah, there was a gezera lahashmid laharug ulaabid eskol hayehudim minav yadzokin taf v'nashim yamechot. You know why? Because if you want to sin, every sin is going to be an atonement for the major sin of Klal Yisrael of the eagle. And how is the eagle described in the Megillah? Chor. The murder of Chor. You kill men. So this is a very common thing. Again, many examples where Hashem always is very makbid. Be good to each other. I'm not so makbid on my cover. You want to sin against me? You want to rebel against me? Okay, we can deal with that. But to be evil to one another, that is no tolerance. That is understanding of why we have Elohim. Hashem created the world. How do you understand the Rashi in Chumash? Bereishis bara Elohim es hashamayim v'es haaretz. Elohim. Zero tolerance. That was the blueprint of the world. Okay, the world was laid down with Elohim, zero tolerance. So what does zero tolerance mean? Well, in the world there's going to be mitzvos ben adam lachavero, and there are going to be mitzvos ben adam lamakom. If you take one misstep in anywhere, in any realm, you're finished. The aseres hadibros parallels my liberations. That's clear, that's a medrash. The asara ma'amoros nivra ha'olam corresponds to the aseres hadibros. And the aseres hadibros, there's a shame yudke vavke, and there's a shame Elohim. In creation, there was Elohim. Hashem saw the world can't survive, so Hashem went and he added rachamim. But what we learn from the aseres hadibros is that when Hashem created the world, it was never meant to be zero tolerance policy bein adam lamakom. The zero tolerance policy that Rashi alludes to in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis was only meant for bein adam lachavero. Because the original plan, according to this medrash, is that on the first tablet of Ben Adam Lamakom, it was only going to say Yud Ke Vav Ke. Yud Ke Vav Ke is the midah of Rachamim, and it was the original plan that on the left tablet, the tablet of Ben Adam LaChavero, it was going to say Elohim, and this was the plan. This parallels that Sarmamaros. So where was there meant to be the zero tolerance policy of Elohim? Ben Adam Lachavero. When Hashem created the world from the very beginning, his original kavanah was, man, be good to your fellow man. Me? It's okay. I'm willing. That's the original plan. And then Hashem saw that man, even man being good to his own man, the world won't last for 5 minutes. There has to be mechila. Man, one man has to learn how to forgive another man. One man has to learn how to see the shortcomings in his fellow man. And Hashem took all of the Elohims in the Adam Lachavero and brought it over to the Yudke Vavke in the Adam Lamakom to teach man, listen, just like I'm forgiving. When I created the world, I was from the very beginning, I overlooked, and I really want you, man and man, to be good to each other. But you have to be like me. In the event that one man, when someone harms you, does wrong to you, you also have to be forgiving. The shituf of Rachamim Ledin was for us to learn from. You see the parallel? You see, if you just look at Chumash Bereishis, you take very simply, there's Midas Hadin, all-encompassing Midas Hadin. Hashem saw the world can't survive, so Hashem added Midas Harachim. The Luchos, what do we learn from? The original plan is, there's Rachamim on the right tablet, Ben Adam Lamakom, and there's Din, Ben Adam Lachavero. And Hashem saw the world's not going to survive one day if man will be rigid. I have to teach them to be meichel. How am I going to teach man to be good to another man? Is to take the din, the Elohim, on the left tablet and bring it over to the right tablet of Rachamim. Yeah.
Why would the Rachamim not be brought to the left side?
Left side, right. Yeah.
Because we're learning from Hashem's Hanhaga. Exactly. I mean, we have to come to Hashem. Hashem is not going to lower himself to man. You have to raise yourself up. You have a mezuzah. Do you lower the mezuzah so the child can kiss the mezuzah? Or do you pick the child up to kiss the mezuzah? Like the famous svar from Yaakov Kamenetsky. So you pick the child up. Hashem is Hashem. Hashem is Rachamim. Hashem is not going to take his Rachamim and go lower himself to man. Man has a role in this world to raise himself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take the harshness of din that man has against his fellow man. Learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be forgiving and bring it over to the right side, to the Luchos Ben Adam LaMakom, and also be a dosage, or to dilute your harshness with rachamim.
But by moving Elohim to the right side, where it was only before Hashem,
yeah,
in fact, you're making it more strict.
Why are you making it more strict?
No.
No. You're not making. Hashem's not going to be diluted. Chas v'shalom. It's the dilution only goes one way.
But that is a little unclear.
Dilution goes only one way. Okay, so this is, yeah.
But you could have brought the Hashem Elohim back also to the left side. Have it on both sides.
No. It only goes one way. Then the whole lesson is lost. If you're going to go have it both ways, the lesson's going to be lost. The lesson is lost, yeah.
They have nothing there.
Maybe it's a simplification. Adam will mark him. Maybe man can figure it out by himself.
Oh, really?
And Adam will Chaveiro can figure out by himself. I better not kill him because his brother's going to kill me back.
Yeah.
But it needed divine intervention.
Double dosage.
To understand, it's not a simple thing. It's easier to, you know.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, but this is a general idea. I just want to bring out this idea we have, just to put the pieces together. We have two luchos. Just to review the yesodos. We have two luchos, the right and the left. The right is Adam LaMakom, the left is Adam LaChaveroi. On the right, the way we have it, we have Hashem Elohim in each one of the five dibros on the right. On the left, we have nothing. There's a medrash. The medrash says that was not the original plan. The original plan was on the right would be Yud Kei Vav Kei, Rachamim. On the left would be Midas Hadin. And the Yishemos on the left were taken to the right side. This parallels Maisa Bereishis, where Kadosh Baruch Hu started out with din, and Hashem diluted the din with rachamim. That's the basic Yisodos. What does this mean? So how Jewish is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, originally when he created the world, he was tolerant of mistakes man would make against Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he wants man to be perfect to another man. He wanted the world that man should not harm, and we have much precedent for that Hashem is much more makbid when one man harms another man. But also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted to us that in the event that you are on the receiving end, you're a victim, don't be so rigid. There are times, not all the time, don't get carried away, you have to know when and where, when there's a proper process of Hakara Sachet and Tshuva and so on and so forth, where man should learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and also have Rachamim and dilute his harshness with Racham. Okay, I want to tell you one more var before we run out of time. Very, very quick, yeah.
In the Novi also it says, Avad Asamim Ephraim, Anachlo, Olat Limon, Atoy Yeshom. If the Jewish nation or Oved Avodah Zarah, but God united,
yeah,
is better than be Oved Hashem and separation.
Okay, very good. Okay, I want to tell you one quick var. This is why I want to review a yesod that I discussed with you once upon a time, probably back in Parashas Tzchanan. We have this week the Parashah, we have the Aseres Hadibros. We also lay the Aseres Hadibros on the same exact Aseres Hadibros on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So the question is, which one of these two experiences is a greater experience? So this I'm telling you now, is a very popular var. This is found, all the Mepharshim say this. I want to just bring out one small point. Just to review the basic yisod, which of the two experiences is a greater experience? So the average person would probably tell you that the experience of the Yom Tov of Shavuos is a much greater reenactment of Matan Torah. You know, we have Pesach, we count 50 days, Sirius Omer, we finally come to Shavuos, we decorate the shul, flowers, trees, we eat milchik, so on and so forth. We're reenacting Matan Torah, so we lay in Vasikin, Parshas, Yisro, Bachodesh, Hashlishi, Lubitseis. Wow, this is the real deal. This week, what's the big deal? You come to shul a little bit late, you shmooze ben gavra legavra. It's not such a reenactment. The degree of reenactment of Matan Torah is not anywhere near the sanctity, like Chassidish Torah, the sanctity of the reenactment of Matan Torah of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So all of the Bali Moser across the board say there can be nothing further than the truth. It's just the opposite. This week, Parashas Yisro, when you come to shul and you hear Kriyas HaTorah and Eilein, the Aseres HaDibros, the sanctity, the event is greater than what you will experience on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. How do you know that? What's the proof? First you have to know the proof and then you have to understand why. Look at the Haftarah. What do we lay in the Haftarah of a Parashas Yisro? Maisa Merkava. What do we lay in Shavuos? Maisa Merkava. But there are two Maisa Merkavas. There's a Maisa Merkava from Yeshaya, and there's a Maisa Merkava from Yecheskel. On Shavuos we lay in from Yecheskel. And on Parashas Yisro we lay in from Yeshaya. Which was a greater Navi? Which had a greater vision? Clear as day, Yeshaya. Yeshaya lived approximately 200 years before Yecheskel. Yeshaya, the Gemara says, was a Ben Krach. He lived in Washington, D.C. He was part of the government. Yecheskel, he lived out in the Hicks. He never saw this was a Chiddush for him. And that's why Yecheskel has a much more elaborate Maisa Merkava, because he never saw this before. It was cool Chiddush. You see the president, you only see the president once in your life. You'll know every single detail. When you see the president every single day, it's a big deal. So I saw him today. So what color suit was he wearing? I don't know. And he was wearing this suit, that suit. What did he look? You don't pay attention. If you see something every single day, it's no big deal. Yeshaya is on a much higher level. Yeshaya, Chazal says, equal to Moshe and Nevuah, to a certain degree, not 100%, but this. So if someone would ask you to decide which Haftarah to lay in, if you would say that Shavuos at a higher level, so you would lay in Yeshaya on Shavuos, and on Yecheskel on, but it's the opposite. So obviously the experience we have this week is a greater experience of Ruach HaKodesh, of Matan Torah, than we have on Shavuos. So why is that so? So the answer given, we once discussed at great length, is because it's part of a Seder. Shavuos is a one-time deal. It's a one-time deal. Wow, it's a Yom Tov, we're going to prepare, we make a party, we get ready, we work ourselves up. Oh, we come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's not natural. Because we're forcing ourselves, we break away from our daily routine to experience something different. Easy come, easy go. You have a nice experience, and the next day, business as usual. You go back where you came from. But when you lay in the parasha part of the Sidra, all of the 54 parashios are arranged week by week. You're in a process. You're in a system. This is business. It's not a matter, I'm going for some entertainment activity, and tomorrow, back to my regular day job. This is the day job. When you lay in Parashas Yisro, when you lay in Matan Torah and Parashas Yisro, it's part of what you do. This is who you are. It's much more significant, it's much deeper, it's much more far-reaching. It's part of your essence, not just, okay, entertainment, I went on a vacation somewhere and I saw something, when the vacation is over, you go back to the way it was. It's part of who you are. Okay, that's the Vart. This is a very beautiful Vart, popular Vart. A lot of the Bali Mosa say this Vart in many different ways and forms. I just want to add one more point. What was last week? Last week was Kriyas Yam Suf. So guess what? All of our Sharmi say the same thing last week. Wow, you're coming over here to Kriyas Yam Suf. What a week. Kushal, the Zavgan, it's a schooler, you should listen to the Shira, whatever. And at the school, if you go and you listen to the Shira, you'll be Zeichet to Parnasa, Mechilas Kalavoinois, Shiduchim, all of the things associated with Kriyas Yam Suf. Wow, it's serious business. And it's greater than Shvi Yishol Pesach because it's part of the Sidra. Okay, now let's go to this is the point I want to make. How long did it take to go from to go from the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim to Shavuos? Last week, not only was it Kriyas Yamsuf, it was also Yitzias Mitzrayim. He b'shach paras ha'am. I'm not really referring only to Kriyas Yamsuf. That was 7 days later. It was when they left. They left on Tezvah, Pesach. How long did it take to go from Pesach to Shavuos?
7 weeks.
7 weeks. 7 weeks. It's a process. So when we have this one-shot deal a year, when we psych ourselves up and we break away from our daily routine to commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim, we repeat the process. 7 long weeks. You have to go through the entire process. It's a long process of 7 weeks. The experience, though, of last week, of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Seder, is greater than the reenactment once a year. This week, Matan Torah is greater. How long did it take to go from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah? 1 week. Wow, 1 week. Well, what's going on here? When we reenact it, we make a Yom Tov out of it, a reenactment, we have to go through the process, 7 week long process to get where we're holding. But when we reenact it on a higher level, it's a higher level when we read it in the Sidra, part of the 54 parashah of the Torah. We go through the Seder of the week. We go from Yitzias Mitzrayim in 1/7 the time that it should take us. Instead of it taking us 7 weeks, 7 cycles of 7, we're able to get to the same place from Yitzias Mitzrayim to the goal. Bavur Tavdunis Lokim Alohorazeh. The Tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Matan Torah. We're able to reach that in 7 days. How is that possible? Same answer. When you're with the program, when it's part of your life, if you're with the program, then you can accomplish things in a very quickly beyond your wildest expectations. Not just can you reach a higher level, you can reach it in a much, much, much more quickly. And what I want to bring out with this, when will Mashiach come? So Chazal say, well, there are two zmanim. There's Be'ita and this Achishana. If we don't merit, if we just sit back and do nothing, it'll come be Ita, Chavli Moshiach, and this will come at its predestined time, whenever that time is. We don't know when that time is. But if you merit, if you want to bring Mashiach before its time, there's something called Achishana. You can merit to bring the Geula before its proper time. What do you have to do to bring it Achishana? So you'll say, oh, you need all of these chosim, you have to give all your money to tzedakah, and you have to make aliyah, and you have to make yourself crazy, you got to do all of these bizarre and exotic things to bring Mashiach Achishana. You learn from the last week and this week nothing further than the truth. You know how you bring Mashiach Achishana? Stick to the program. When you live a life of Torah, when it's your business, when this is your Seder, it's Kiddusha de Sidra. You have the 54 parashios. This is the program. I'm part of the program. You can go from point A to point B in 1/7 of the time it should normally take you. To get from point A to point B, when you want to do a one-shot deal, you want to do it, it takes 47 times 7. That's what it's all about. But if you're with the program, you're part of the cycle of the parashios. It's part of your seder. It's part of your routine. You can go from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. You can reach your destination very quickly, 1/7 of the time. If we want to bring Mashiach Achishana, we're running out of time. If we want to bring Mashiach Achishana, you don't have to do anything exotic. You just got to be with the program. It has to be part of your seder. The Torah has to be part of your Seder HaChayim. And then Memela, you'll come, reach the destination we're supposed to get to, Achishana, in a much shorter period of time than it would normally come if we follow, if we just do it when it was meant to come. Okay, that's Parshas Yisro. Have a wonderful Shabbos.